Believer's Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Lesson 207, Do Not Harden Your Heart. In our last lesson, we were discussing God's salvation, and were warned not to neglect so great a salvation. The book of Hebrews deals with people who were in danger of falling away from their Christian profession, which we call an apostate, though the writer is confident that the believers to whom he is writing will produce spiritual fruit that shows the genuineness of their faith, he still feels compelled to challenge them because they had not been advancing in their spiritual lives as should be expected. Perhaps some of them were undergoing some level of persecutions, and this made returning to Judaism look rather appealing to these professing Christians. It is against this backdrop that the writer is arguing for their faith in Christ and endurance in the face of trials. In chapter 3, he will bring them back in time to the history of the Israelites, who could not enter Canaan due to their disobedience and lack of faith. This he uses as a warning to these who profess God's salvation, but maybe have been tempted to go back from following Christ and return to the safer and more culturally accepted practices of Judaism. He calls on them to consider Jesus, who is called the apostle and high priest of their faith. He is also an apostle. He is an apostle because he was sent forth from heaven to bring salvation into the world. Apostle comes from a word meaning one who is sent. He is also our high priest because he is the one who stands between God and us to plead our case and ask for our forgiveness. He also represents God to us by communicating God's word and will to us. He did this personally during his earthly ministry and then through his apostles after he returned to heaven. The Old Testament high priest was only a picture of the true high priest, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants once again to convince his readers about the superiority of Christ over anything the Hebrews may have had under the Old Testament law and Judaism. In the Old Testament, Moses was a servant of God and faithful in his service to the Lord. Moses was never a master over the house. The house here is a figure of speech referring to God's people. Moses was a leader among the people, but they were always God's people, and Moses was simply God's spokesman and servant. Jesus was greater than Moses because he is not merely a servant of the house, he was to be master over the house. God has given all authority in heaven and earth to Jesus to reign over his house. Though Jesus has not yet fully assumed his right to rule over the people of God, he will someday soon set up his eternal kingdom, and all will acknowledge him as Lord over all. Since Jesus is much greater than Moses as the ultimate ruler over God's people, the writer warns his readers not to be like the Israelites in the wilderness who hardened their hearts and provoked God to anger. They were not permitted to enter the promised land because they rebelled against God and refused to believe that God could defeat their enemies before them. Their punishment was that they perished in the wilderness and never got to enter the land which God had promised to them. This Old Testament story is to awaken within all of us a fear of displeasing God through our lack of faith. The salvation that God offers to us through Jesus Christ can be entered into through faith, but some, due to fears, draw back because of their lack of faith. There is a danger for us in that it will not just cost us seeing the promised land, but more importantly, our lack of faith can keep us from entering into heaven someday. God has provided ample evidence of his power and authority for us to place our trust in him. But some people become disobedient to the faith, not due to a lack of evidence of the truth, but because of the deceitfulness of sin. We must be very careful to understand the dangers of sin. Sin can make our hearts cold towards God and lead us further away from him and closer toward his judgment in hell. When the Israelites lusted in the wilderness, God gave them the desire of their hearts, but also sent leanness into their souls. There is always a cause for pursuing sin when God has offered us a better path. Be careful you do not choose sin rather than following the Lord in faith, for that could be very disastrous for you, as it was for the Israelites who perished in the wilderness. While discussing the dangers of falling through unbelief, we must be careful not to get the wrong understanding of Scripture. Do not think if a person has received God's salvation that he could lose his salvation through unbelief. The Bible teaches us here in Hebrews and throughout the book that once a person has been born again by the Holy Spirit, they are a child of God and can never be lost. The language of the writer here in Hebrews 3 and other verses in chapter 6 have often led some to believe that a believer can lose his salvation. It is important, however, to understand the context of these passages and not confuse the perishing of the Israelites in the wilderness to eternal judgment on those who lack faith to the saving of their soul. To understand this controversy, it is important to learn and gain a proper understanding of biblical apostasy. When a person who professes to believe in Jesus as their Savior demonstrates through their actions that their faith was not genuine, and they return to a position that agrees with unbelievers who reject Jesus and his salvation, then that person clearly is denying what they said they had believed. When the Bible speaks of this kind of person, we refer to them as an apostate. The Bible says for this kind of person, it is impossible to renew them to repentance, for they stand in open opposition to Jesus Christ. It is not possible for men to be saved when they reject Jesus, who is the only Savior of men. However, nothing is impossible with God, and should they indeed recognize their foolish position, repent and believe the gospel, God can save any and all who will place their trust in Jesus. If a person demonstrates that they love their sin and are not submitting their life to Jesus as Lord, then they show that their faith is not genuine saving faith. This is true even for those who claim to be Christians. This is the great danger of thinking we are a Christian by our profession alone. It is the evidence of a changed life that will reveal whether our faith is genuine and whether we are born of God. We are exhorted to beware lest in any of us is an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Be sure that your heart is not hardened, and you will listen to the Holy Spirit by obeying the gospel and following Christ in faith. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15.
Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned about the children of Israel in the wilderness, whom God was angry with because of their rebellion and unbelief. This taught us that we also need to be careful to believe God about Jesus as our Savior and the only means of salvation for our soul. Should we rebel against Christ and choose something else, then we would be an apostate from the Christian religion. Someone might ask the question, what does it mean to have become a partaker of Christ? This is an important question from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. As discussed in the lesson today, the backdrop of the letter to the Hebrews is dealing with the potential problem of apostasy where someone who once professed salvation through Jesus Christ has then subsequently turned away from Christ, suggesting through their actions or words that Christ is not their Savior. However, in chapter 3, the writer is only warning of the potential apostasy of those to whom he is writing. He refers to them in the first verse of the chapter as partakers of the heavenly calling, and then partakers of Christ in verse 14. This certainly sounds like language which could only refer to genuine born-again Christians. We must remember that while the author is warning about apostasy, he is not suggesting that any of them were apostates or would become apostate. He simply recognizes that this might be a possibility since some of them had not been growing in their faith as one might expect, and some were forsaking the assembling of themselves together, as is mentioned in chapter 10, verse 25. He obviously saw some warning signs of a potential apostasy, and so he tackles this head on to warn them not to have an evil heart of unbelief. He is confident for the most part that the ones to whom he is writing were in fact genuine believers, and thus he feels the liberty to refer to them as partakers of both the heavenly calling and of Christ. We must consider also the possibility that these two phrases could actually be used of someone who professes to be a Christian, but later proves to be an apostate. I say this because someone who partakes of the heavenly calling could very well be a person who has heard the gospel message and said that they believe and follows along with the Christians for a time, only to later reject the gospel and prove that their faith was not at all sincere. Sometimes people say they believe for motives that are less than pure. Some people see some advantage in calling themselves a Christian, and so it is not hard to imagine that some might fake a profession, pretending to be a follower of Christ to get something or to satisfy someone else's expectations. We could say they were a partaker of the heavenly calling in the sense that they heard and seemed to respond to God's call, even though they never were genuinely saved. We can also think similarly of someone who is said to be a partaker of Christ. This also does not necessarily have to mean the person was born again. The person in question might be someone who has professed to be a Christian and enjoyed Christian fellowship, heard Christ speak through his servants, participated at the Lord's Supper, even sharing the gospel message with others. By all these activities, they appeared to have been a partaker of Christ, but only later to be discovered to be an apostate who turns away from Christianity. It hardly would seem possible for someone to behave this way, but we do hear of people acting this way from time to time. While we consider what it means to be a partaker of Christ, it would be instructive for us to consider our own relationship to Christ and ask if we have known what it is to genuinely partake of Christ and His salvation. Many people today call themselves Christians and think that they belong to God, but when asked about how to get to heaven, will speak about their religious accomplishments and good deeds. They have lots of religion, but no clear understanding of the gospel, nor evidence of true spiritual life. To be a true partaker of Christ, you must believe in Him to the saving of your soul. It is only by faith that you can lay hold of the salvation that God freely offers to us. Our faith must not be in our church, good deeds, or religious rituals, but rather in Christ alone. He died to pay for our sins, and that alone is the remedy for our sin problem. I hope in this sense of believing in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been a partaker of Christ. Don't be one of those who is simply playing games with God, wearing a mask of religion to keep up a good image. Some who live like this are hypocrites, who live ungodly lives full of deceit, lust, greed, and self-indulgence, not regarding the spiritual or physical needs of others all around them. Don't fool yourself into thinking you are okay with God when your life is not reflecting that Jesus is in control of your attitude and conduct. Perhaps today you would like to take up God's offer of salvation and be a partaker of Christ. You may do so by simply asking Jesus in faith to save your soul. The Bible says simply, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Why not do that right now and commit your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. James chapter 2, verse 19. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and Evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Will I believe you when you say your hand will guide my every way? Will I receive the words you say every moment of every day? Will I, will walk by faith, well, even when I cannot see? Will because this broken world prepares your will for me? Help me to rid my endless fears. You've been so faithful for all my years. With one breath you make me new. Your grace covers all I do. Well, because this broken road prepares your will for me.